Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio.
Oh, we got it! On the 1, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and in association with Quaker Steak and Lube on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Fights and pushes, and he's in! Touchdown! It is all over! The Browns have won it!
And now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
Yeah, it's one of those Mondays, unfortunately. But, this was a tough one to watch and a tough one to see end the way it ended. I guess at one point it was looking as if something might be turning around after that 14-point hole. And frankly, the way that game was unfolding, I found myself kind of shocked to see the Browns ahead at one point, based on the beginning. I wasn't surprised that they had the capability of leading and ultimately having a chance to win the game, because I thought that's what this was going to happen. But that isn't what happened. What happened was a 25-15 loss to the Ravens. And I think a missed opportunity. A lot of us know that. A lot of frustration, a lot of anger spilling out of that game from not just fans, but you could feel it and see it from among players in the locker room. It was a frustrated team and no way really to go into the bye, but this is how the Browns go into their bye. 2-7 and a loss to kind of stew over. Lots of topics within this game and within this loss. Second guessing of decisions by coaching, second guessing of decisions by quarterback, second guessing of just the way small, but mistakes, things that were just not right about the way the whole thing unfolded, when you saw repeated errors taking place, penalties taking place, maybe some that were in dispute, but nonetheless they happened and were costly for this football team. We're going to talk about these tough issues with the head coach, Pat Shurmur. He will join us as he always does on Monday. We've also assembled the roundtable for this show. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns. Doug Deacon, his partner in the radio booth, former Browns offensive lineman. And then Tom Withers from the Associated Press, our usual foursome here with yours truly to talk about yesterday's game and get into the, again, the tough analysis, but that's what it is. And this one is every loss feels lousy, puts us in the same feeling today, and it's hard to differentiate. I think we've talked about this before on the show. And sadly, we can start comparing losses. Really fun thing to do. Comparing losses and how bad one feels over the other. And when it's a winnable type of situation, how much worse that feels than getting blown out. And I guess that's the thing we haven't seen. We've seen this Browns team compete and not get mauled in a game, which I think says that the talent level is better than it was. But when you have a 2-7 record to show for it, and you say that, you roll your eyes. People roll their eyes. People won't. I mean, it's not an inaccurate thing. In fact, the harshest critics of this team I've heard acknowledge talent is aboard. Not enough of it to make this team as successful as we all want it to be, but talent. But where's it going from here? And where do you go after 2-7? And that's where there will be a lot of soul searching and a lot of, I think, self-examination through these next 2 weeks here. Well, this week mainly, because it's the bye and the players are off from Wednesday through the weekend, and then they come back to work on Monday. So one more day, and then it's bye week mode here in Berea. Your questions, your comments, those that you submit to the Browns official Facebook and Twitter pages, the Browns Daily Twitter page, which is Browns_daily, and our email address daily@clevelandbrowns.com. Terry from Facebook says, simple formula for winning. Browns cannot throw more than 30 times per game. 2-0 when Brandon Weeden throws fewer than 30. 0-7 when he throws more. Trent Richardson needs 25 or 30 carries to give the Browns a chance. Well, Trent Richardson, in fact, had 25 carries in this loss, just for the record. 105 yards, a nice average, 4.2 average per yards per carry. And Brandon Weeden did throw 37 times. And I think when you get into a 14-point hole at the outset, when you are chasing that and trying to chase your way back into it, that contributes. But two, yeah, the approach of this, it was clear. It was clear that this was an aggressive game plan in place. And what said that? How about the very first play, trying to go deep, as Brandon Weeden did, right off the bat, attack him deep. And I think most folks watching it would admire that attitude. You know, you've got an opponent like the Ravens coming in, still kind of reeling from their previous game. They had a bye, but the previous game was a bad loss to Houston, where they got overwhelmed. And you want to set a tone, and that's okay, but it didn't work. And then through the game, where you could see rushing success, there was part of you, part of me, that said, okay, let's do more of this. Let's reset this. Let's kind of shape the tone of this. And give the Ravens credit. They came in and took advantage. They saw some things they could exploit in the Browns defense, and they did. But then give the Browns defense credit for adjusting to that. Give Dick Geron and his staff some points, because there were sustainable parts of this game where the defense played well, where it played well enough, I should say, to allow the Browns to have a chance to win. That's usually just what you ask your defense to do. And this defense has done a lot. It's had a lot on its shoulders, its collective shoulder, game after game after game. All right, in a couple of minutes, we are going to have a conversation with the head coach of the Browns. He stops by this show every Monday. We'll talk with him, get his thoughts, ask some tough questions about that game, because they're out there to be asked. As you listen to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, right here on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Certified pre-owned Ford Fusion tonight. Sounds like you're buying a used car. No. Certified pre-owned from Liberty Ford. Big difference. Certified pre-what? With a built-in 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Certified peace of mind.
Uh-huh. And what do they charge for that?
$189 a month, and I saved about $10,000 off the cost of a new one.
Wow! Certified pre-easy!
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
In the world of B2B commerce, a lot can happen between that first B and the second. That's why First Merit Merchant Services is ready for anything. With a full range of support services from fraud monitoring to chargeback mitigation, your business can easily grow and change and grow some more. And if you sign up now, we'll waive your setup fee too. For more information, call 877-507-9007. First Merit Bank. You first. Member FDIC.
Hey, Browns fans. Bernie Kosar here. As a former NFL quarterback, I know what it's like to get hit hard. But you can keep your wallet from getting hit hard when you take advantage of Discount Drug Mart's $1.99 generic prescription program. Discount Drug Mart offers hundreds of prescriptions and non-prescription medications starting at just $1.99. Just like my offensive line protected me, Discount Drug Mart will protect your wallet. Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns.
The following was inspired by an actual conversation.
Hello, Arby's.
Hi, who sliced your meat today?
Doug. Why?
Is Doug a robot?
No, Doug is not a robot.
Is non-robot Doug freshly slicing roast beef for the Arby's French dip and Swiss sandwich, and then adding melted Swiss and a cup of steaming au jus?
Yeah, actually he is.
Good. I will take human Doug over a machine any day.
Get two Arby's French dip sandwiches for just $5 at participating restaurants for a limited time. Arby's, slicing up freshness.
Whether you're running a family or running a business, there's so much running to do and so little time. So let Carbonite run your computer backup for you, automatically and continually, whenever you're connected to the internet. Unlimited backup space for one computer is just $59 a year. Carbonite also has plans to back up all your small business computers for one low price. Try it free today at Carbonite.com. No credit card required. Use offer code BACKUP and get 2 bonus months with purchase. Carbonite.com. Offer code BACKUP.
If you need a good lawyer, listen up. Use mine. Russo Rosalina. Hi, gang. Riz here for Russo Rosalina, general practice family law firm. Joe, Gabriella, and Basil have been doing it for years. Two locations, too. East Side, Richmond Town Square. West Side, Parmatown on Ridge. If you suffered a loss of a loved one, Russo Rosalina can handle the estate for you. Injuries, divorce, bankruptcy, wills, they do it. Go to RRLPA.com. That's RRLPA.com. Russo Rosalina.
Dawson's ready to try and give them the lead. Snap is back. Ball down. Dawson into it. End over end. The kick is up and it is good from 41. And the Browns, for the first time today, they lead by one.
All right, Jim Donovan with the call. You'll hear from him a little later in the show. The voice of the Browns. And talking about the field goal that gave the one of five by Phil Dawson that gave the Browns their first and only lead of the day. And Browns fans unite. The all-new Browns Fan 4-Pack is on sale now. Starting at just $199, you get four tickets to the Browns home matchup versus the Kansas City Chiefs. That's on December 9th. Or the Washington Redskins on December 16th. Plus, your four Browns tickets include four hot dogs, four Pepsis, four game programs, and a parking pass. That's over $50 in savings. To purchase your Browns Fan 4-Pack, call Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000 or visit ClevelandBrowns.com today. And each Monday, we bring in the head coach of the Browns, Pat Shurmur. No loss feels good. They probably all feel the same to you. But I think this one, when we look at it, and very similarly, Coach, to the Thursday night game at Baltimore, where opportunity did seem to be there. You were in it with these guys the whole way through and just fell short. And I think you can point to, as you have, those things, whether they're mistakes or penalties or something that make the difference in the outcome.
Yeah, no question. You know, I made the point earlier today that last year we played the Ravens and the scores stayed somewhat close, but they kind of took it to us. This year, you know, we had an opportunity to win. We're winning, actually, 15-14, just less than 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And we falls in that category. We've got to learn how to finish things and, make enough plays to win. Got to coach better, got to play better. And that'll happen.
Was there anything in particular that bothered you or disappointed you more than others? And I know, unfortunately, you got more than one thing you can point to, but is there a single thing when you had time to think about this and review it on tape that you said this was your biggest kind of...
Well, I always look at the decisions that I make throughout the game, and there's a bunch of them. Some of them end up being very smart. Some of them, if we don't execute well, you look back on it and you say, well, you know, maybe I should have done something different. You know, so that's where I'm at right now. And then, of course, our coaches right now are talking to the players about the specific things that they need to do better. And, you just try to clean that up and move on. And that's where the mental toughness comes in, because games get talked about after you play them for a while. And it's natural to assign blame when you lose, and so what you got to do is you just got to move forward and try to do the best you can to make decisions based on winning next week.
When you look at the hole that you got yourself into, 14 points early on,
yeah.
and we've seen this pattern this season where you're chasing points as a team, and no matter how valiant the effort, you're almost always going to come up short, or at least that's been the pattern for the Browns in many of these losses this year. So you not only were able to close that gap, but also take the lead, and that's a credit to the team, to everybody. But that has to be a disturbing thing of, once again, seeing yourself fall into that hole.
Well, you never want to get behind, and there actually are less games this year that we are behind. We've scored more to start the game this year than we did last. But no matter how it happens, when you get back to a situation, however you get there, where you're ahead in the game, you got to do what you got to do to keep it.
When you also look at your running game, Trent Richardson was having success running the football for the second week in a row, and he has a 100-plus yard game. We knew how banged up this Ravens defensive front was, and the Houston Texans had shown in the previous outing with the Ravens that that you could run on this club, and you certainly had some success doing that. Any consideration as you look back on it that you would have maybe wanted to run more, or were you sufficient in the amount of time that you tested their front seven?
Well, we were having success running the football, but I think we also that helped us have success with some of our play-action passes, and so it all goes hand in hand. And Trent had a positive impact on the game. He rushed for over 100 and caught the ball for over 30. So, you know, he had a positive impact on the game. I think it's important that he's involved throughout the game, whatever the situation. And, you know, you try to do what you can to score points. Now, we found our way. The big issue was we found our way into the red zone five times.
Yeah.
And got five field goals, and that's not good enough.
Right. And what can you point to on that, Pat, for that very, because you know you're looking to get touchdowns there. Yeah. But again, in general, is there something that you can say there's a hump you got to get over besides just doing it? What's stopping it? You know,
it's always when you're down there numerous. It's a combination of things. You know, times when we run the ball, you got to get more out of it. You get a third down situation in the red zone, you got to be able to be. Not third and 11, you got to be third and 3, you know. And so, you know, and then there are times when they'll just legislate against you, just absolutely throwing the ball in the end zone, and then you got to be able to check it down and run it in.
Pat Shermer, head coach of the Browns, joining us as usual here on Monday on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Coach, we've talked on this show before about the controversial coaching decisions. You referenced those at the top that you think about. You were asked quite a bit about those after the game and earlier today in your news conference, especially the fourth and one deciding to go for it when you're on your end of the field versus not going for it previously when you were on the other end of the field, closer to the goal line. How do you sort of break down why you made that choice in this particular game?
Well, I felt like I wanted to keep the football. I felt like we had a good situation where we had a play that, you know, I felt like was going to work. And, you know, we didn't get it. Of course, now when anything doesn't work, you look back on it.
You want to do the other thing, yeah. Or people want you to do
the other thing. Well, the previous game we're talking about,
yeah.
You know, I punted the football.
Right.
And we got the ball back with a chance to win. You know, I was watching the Giants playing the Steelers last night. Very same situation. They punted the football and never saw it again.
Right.
So, you know, I get that and I understand. And when I see how the outcome of the game ended up, of course I sit back and say, okay, what could I have done better and differently? And so, you obviously consider it.
Does the risk of putting the Ravens in a position where they can, you know, increase the lead because they've got favorable field position there if you don't convert, how much does that play into your thinking?
Well, I think you got to consider that. We did a good job of making it a long field goal. But then once we had the ball back, you know, we had a chance to throw a long touchdown pass that we didn't get executed, which then the game moves on.
Right.
We just keep playing. And so that's one of the many decisions that get made. Some of them you look very smart when they go the way you think. And then there's other ones where you say, well, you know, it didn't work out. And then, of course, you're always very critical. I'm obviously more critical of myself than anybody outside the building can be.
Sure. You had what you talked about after the game, communication issues, problems from the sideline to Brandon Whedon. But if you could just explain what kind of the nature of what those were, just because you touched upon it and just want to see how those could be and
right.
How you work through them.
Well, it was one of those games where there was a couple situations where it just didn't get done smoothly. You know, I felt like the communication has been outstanding for most of the year.
Right.
And every once in a while in a game, something will happen or it's a situation where you want to say, okay, let's just gather our thoughts here and then move forward. You know, there's always personnel going in and out of the game. Plays needs to get called and communicated to the quarterback and got to get executed. And so we had a couple situations where that didn't get done, and we'll make corrections to make sure that doesn't happen again.
You're in the bye week, so it does give you the opportunity to do that, to do the quality assurance, if you want to call it quality control, and go over that type of thing. You mentioned in the news conference about streamlining, and that's just a matter of, is it maybe reducing number of people involved in the process or just verbiage? How do you do that?
No, we just constantly look for better ways to do things, and this gives you a little bit of time to just sit back and maybe tweak some things that'll help you as you move forward, and that's going to be the focus for the coaches as we go forward. There's other things you try to get done in the bye week. Mandated to give the players a certain amount of days off, which this late in the season, I think it'll help them to try to get healthier for the last seven games.
You anticipated my next question. Is this bye falling? I know you have no control of when it falls, but it seems to fall at a good time from a healing standpoint, almost this mid-season, just past the mid-season mark, and bodies need to heal and refresh, and minds need to heal and refresh too.
Sure. Yeah, we've been going through the process now for quite a while, so it'll be good. It's a welcome change of pace. I don't consider it time off. It's just time away for the players. But we change the routine here for a week, and then get back and get ready to play the Cowboys.
Brandon Weeden has, I'd say, had more positive impact than negative. But it looks like, and we know about the weather against San Diego, kind of keeping things in check passing wise. But yesterday wasn't one of his better days. But it looks like he's also the type of guy who is going to be diligent at and being very self-critical and study that film and make. What do you want to see him do in this extra time off?
Well, it's important, I think, that he just keeps working on the basics, the fundamentals, and how it relates to the game plan that we're putting together for the opponent we're going to play. So that's all. I mean, he just got to just go back to basics. Sounds cliche, but just keep working on the basics over and over and over, and going through the progressions and making the right reads, doing it on time, and being accurate with your throws.
One real bright spot, I thought, in this game was special teams, not just Phil Dawson being 5 for 5 on field goals, being money as he always is, but your coverage. Jacoby Jones, as dangerous a returner as there is in the game, and he didn't really burn you in this game at all.
No, it was a big-time fight in terms of the special teams. It was a good battle. You know, I think I like to think we got the best of them in the first game, and that's a good football team we played. They're very, and John Harbaugh made his name as a special teams coach in this league, and they're outstanding. And I think our guys battled. I thought we got our best game out of our punter, and obviously Phil making his kicks, and then the coverage units were solid, really solid. And so, there's something to build on there, and we're getting better there. I think, it's fair to say that we are just night and day better than we were a year ago in that area. And I think, I really do think Chris and Sean do a good job of getting those guys ready to go.
Anything different you're going to do in this bye specifically that maybe you did last year? Because you always talk about how you learn from your first season, different things, procedures. What is there something you may go about differently as you approach this bye? I'm talking you specifically from a coaching standpoint. And then even personally, are you going to allow yourself to get away from it a little bit?
Yeah, I kind of leave my personal time private, you know. But, no, there's plenty of work to get done. We got a long way to go as a team. There's a lot of football left to play. And I just feel like this is a team that can really improve and win games, and I want to just make sure we dot our I's and cross our T's as we move forward. We're going to play an outstanding opponent. I don't think the record shows it quite as much as I see it on tape, but the Cowboys.
Sure.
We go down there and play the Cowboys, and so we got to get ready to go.
All right, Pat, thank you so much.
You got it.
He is Pat Shermer, head coach of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
I really need a new car.
Oh, no! Why?
Well, mine's only a two-seater, and I have three kids.
Are you sure that's a good reason?
Pretty sure.
But all the numbers, the decisions, the agony.
Not at Liberty Ford. I get top dollar for my trade-in, and right now I can lease the all-new 2013 Escape for only $249 a month.
Well, that's just too easy.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion, home.
Visit Quaker Steak and Lube in Valley View, Sheffield, Lakewood, or Vermilion to make your reservations for the Thanksgiving buffet. Enjoy all of your holiday favorites on Thursday, November 22nd from 11:30 to 5 p.m., including chef-carved turkey, ham, roast beef, stuffing, cranberry sauce, and much more. And from noon to 9 p.m. from November 19th through the 21st, buy one gift card and get the second half off.
For your cooler and charcoal budget. For depositing $100 from Section 100. For being ready on game day, PNC has tools like Mobile Deposit that lets you snap and send checks from most anywhere. And Virtual Wallet that alerts you when you're running low. See our tools and apps at pnc.com/alwaysopen. PNC Bank, for the achiever in you. Official bank of the Cleveland Browns. A supported mobile device is needed to use Mobile Deposit. Standard data rates and certain other restrictions apply. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Welcome to Bonefish Grill.
It ended with an elf doing a limbo.
Today, my merrymaking friend Nick and I slip into Bonefish Grill to enjoy a holiday from holiday shopping. We are warmly greeted with winter white cosmos, transforming us from mall monsters back into human beings. Human beings ordering Shinkatink oysters for $8.90. Our escape then becomes complete. For Nick, it's salmon topped with spinach, bacon, and gorgonzola for $15.90. For me, wolffish Rockefeller covered in jumbo lump crab. We quickly observe a moment of silence for all those at the mall, then dig into happiness.
Now feast on lightly grilled succulent king crab legs, served with a seasonal vegetable, choice of side and salad for just $19.90.
Gifts so perfect, I might not give them. Bonefish Grill, happiness here.
Bonefish Grill now serves Sunday brunch. Come taste our new brunch menu featuring creme brulee French toast, signature omelet, and handcrafted Bloody Mary. Visit bonefishgrill.com for participating locations and hours.
Cozy presents the Big Small Biz Celebration. In appreciation of all their hard work and determination, we're giving away 40 prizes exclusively for small business owners. You could win a shopping spree for your company, tickets to big games, a new logo design, computers, and much more. You don't need to be a Cozy member to win. Join the celebration sponsored by Medical Mutual today. Enter and find complete rules and eligibility requirements at CozyCelebration.com. That's CozyCelebration.com.
I'm Joel Matlin, president of Alarm Force. Whether you live in a condo, a one-story, or a two-story house, what's inside is important and needs to be protected. With Alarm Force, you get no charge live two-way voice, installation, activation, and warranty, and only $25 a month for monitoring. And you can get an alarm system even if you don't have a home phone line.
Call 1-800-267-2001. Alarm Force.
Ohio's best choice for home security.
Hey, Jill, could you give me a hand?
You mean a foot?
A foot? No, I need help with the tailgate on your Escape.
Oh, Brad, remember? All you have to do is kick your foot under the bumper.
Oh, yeah, forgot.
See?
Whoa, I forgot how much room we got back here.
Yeah, and you forgot to get all of my bags.
Wait, you're bringing all those, too?
Well, we are going to be gone for 2 days.
Oh, yeah. How could I forget?
See the all-new 2013 Escape at your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer.
Rice remains in the game of the shotgun with Flacco. He waits on it. Low snap. He picks it up. Third and 10. He's back. He's going to get hit. He's going down. Jabal Sheard, his second sack of the year and his first one in a long, long time, Doug. A loss of 9 in Baltimore punts.
It's now your chance to ask Vic on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Yeah, big sack by Jabal Sheard, who has been playing well, only second sack of the season, but has been getting some pressure. I mean, he has been generating some heat. So that play, I think, was consistent with how he's been playing overall. And ladies, enjoy a night out with the Cleveland Browns and get a behind-the-scenes look inside the team. Expand your football knowledge at Ladies Chalk Talk with an evening full of special appearances, lectures, cocktails, appetizers, giveaways, and much more. That's on Monday, November 19th from 6 to 9 p.m. at Cleveland Browns Stadium. Sign up today for Ladies Chalk Talk by visiting clevelandbrowns.com. And we go to your questions, your comments that you submit to the Browns official social media pages. You also email them to daily@clevelandbrowns.com. Dan from Facebook says, of all the rookie quarterbacks in the league, the coaches say Brandon Whedon still needs to be developed. None of the other rookie quarterbacks are having a hard time developing. At this point, with any football team at the halfway mark, if one player isn't working, go with someone else. He says Whedon looks scared. He only looks for one receiver. 12 interceptions in 9 games. When do you say enough is enough? Put Colt McCoy in, our second best quarterback, according to the coaches. Well, Dan, first of all, I would challenge what you're saying by saying that all of the other rookie quarterbacks are doing fine or not having development or not needing development. That is patently false. I mean, as well as the best of the five is playing, and yes, well, first I'm going to mention Andrew Luck, the top overall pick. I would still say that the coaches in Indianapolis would say he needs some more work and development. He made some nice throws. He played well for the Colts yesterday in the win over Miami. I looked at that game and was impressed with what he did. There's no doubt. He did some good things, did some excellent things. But he's had his share of, you know, he's had his moments where you say that's a rookie still learning and still developing. And the head-up game between the Browns and the Colts, Brandon Whedon played a better game that day. I mean, the Colts won. Whedon was the better player, better quarterback that day. And that's not just my view. That's from neutral people and from people who watched it from a Colts perspective. And RG3 had a rough outing against the Panthers yesterday. Not sure if you saw that. He's done some exceptionally good things this year. He's a dynamic player, but that was not a sterling game for anybody playing for the Redskins, and that included RG3 in that game. And I'm sure, you know, he'd be the first to acknowledge that. But to your point about Whedon specifically, 12 interceptions, not good. He needs to work on protecting the ball better. That's a common theme. And two more, you know, he added to that total. I'm not happy with that at all, and there's no defending that. And there's no defending some bad decisions that he makes, the tendency to try to force some throws that aren't there because he trusts his arm. But I don't think that overshadows and outweighs what he's capable of doing with the kind of arm that I think still separates him, not just from Colt McCoy, but just separates him from a lot of other quarterbacks. And I do think that it's worth it, it's sound to let him go through this process. I took a backward step yesterday. It was not a game, you know, it was not one of those, yeah, chalk that one up as a progress game. No, the line is not going straight up. In fact, we saw where it started. It started below the lowest point you could with that Eagles game, but has climbed up. But I do think it's imperative to see his next game show progress, show rebound, show what he did, you know, following, what was it, Cincinnati at Cincy, following that Eagles game. Got to see that. Bad Motor Scooter from Twitter says, should Chris Obanaya, the guilty party on the maddening legal formation penalty that wiped out the touchdown, be playing ahead of Brandon Jackson? You know, it's interesting, and you heard, I've concluded that this was not characteristic of the kind of play. I guess I'm hearing my own voices in my head, but that's what happens when you do a lot of talking for a living. That this was not the typical of the kind of thing Chris Obanaya does in terms of that type of mistake, because it is a thinking moment, and I think he's a better thinker than that. And then when he attempted to step the yard and a half that he's supposed to off the line, the snap is occurring just then, and that's why the penalty occurs. So the realization has to come sooner. And you have to be aware, and you have to be heady about it. And but as far as should he be playing ahead of Brandon Jackson, I think the primary reason, he's better at picking up the blitz. When he's in those, it's usually those situations when teams are going to blitz you. And I think he's a sounder, smoother receiver out of the backfield. Jackson's pretty good at that. Overall, the feeling is that by this coaching staff, and especially by Pat Shurmur, that he's a better runner. So now does that play torpedo him? Probably not, and force the Browns to think about going with Jackson ahead of him? I'd say probably not. But I know folks want to see, you know, another guy, just because you saw some good things from Brandon Jackson go back to last year, but we don't know. The healthy, recovered guy who missed all of last season, what is he now? And right now, he's the guy who is there if there's an injury to Chris Obanaya, basically, or down the line, Richardson, and, you know, he's there to give you that depth, but right now he's not deemed a guy who should play unless something were to happen to, next man up, something to happen to Obanaya. All right, we are going to assemble the roundtable next. We'll get Jim Donovan and Doug Deacon and Tom Withers together with yours truly, Victor Rucci. We're going to, again, do more analysis of Sunday's 25-15 loss to the Ravens. Here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Picking up my certified pre-owned Ford Fusion tonight.
Sounds like you're buying a used car.
No, certified pre-owned from Liberty Ford. Big difference.
Certified pre-what?
With a built-in 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Certified peace of mind.
Uh-huh. And what do they charge for that?
$189 a month, and I saved about $10,000 off the cost of a new one.
Wow! Certified pre-easy.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
Visit Quaker Steak and Lube in Valley View, Sheffield, Lakewood, or Vermilion to make your reservations for the Thanksgiving buffet. Enjoy all of your holiday favorites on Thursday, November 22nd from 11:30 to 5 p.m., including chef-carved turkey, ham, roast beef, stuffing, cranberry sauce, and much more. And from noon to 9 p.m. from November 19th through the 21st, buy one gift card and get the second half off.
The following was inspired by an actual conversation.
Hello, Arby's.
Hi, who sliced your meat today?
Doug. Why?
Is Doug a robot?
No, Doug's not a robot.
Is non-robot Doug freshly slicing roast beef for the Arby's French dip and Swiss sandwich and then adding melted Swiss and a cup of steaming au jus?
Yeah, actually he is.
Good. I will take human Doug over a machine any day.
Get two Arby's French dip sandwiches for just $5 at participating restaurants for a limited time. Arby's, slicing of freshness.
Hey, Browns fans. Your favorite Cleveland Browns are going green, and you can too. Intercept your waste. Recycle your cardboard, paper, plastic, cans, and glass at home, at work, and on game days. Remember to compost food scraps and yard clippings too. Make it a habit. Reduce, reuse, recycle, and compost. Visit CuyahogaSWD.org to learn more. Powered by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources in the Cuyahoga County Solid Waste District.
Do you need cash fast? Have you even considered one of those two-week payday advance loans because you think there's no other option? Well, here's some good news. Western Sky Financial can lend you up to $10,000, even if your credit's not perfect, and the money can be in your bank account in hours. That's right. We can loan you up to $10,000 with just your signature and some simple paperwork. It's fast and easy, and there's no collateral required. Yes, the money's a little expensive, but it's a lot cheaper than a payday loan, and you can get enough cash to take care of some bills and have enough left to make a difference. And you can make monthly payments or repay at any time because there's never a charge for paying your loan back early. So if you need up to $10,000 by tomorrow, call Western Sky at 855-759-1224. That's 855-759-1224.
Subject to credit approval. Western Sky is owned by an individual member of the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe and is a Native American business operating within the exterior boundaries of the Cheyenne River Sioux Reservation.
That's 855-759-1224.
One, two, three.
Two receivers right, one left on a draw. They give it. Richardson bounces outside. 25, 30. He takes it outside again. Ed Reed's got him at the 40, and he's still going to the 43-yard line. Their first out of the half. Great 19-yard run by Richardson.
Well, he was going up the middle on the draw, as you said, and then everybody kind of collapsed inside. He just bounced it to the outside and had some clean sailing.
Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We thank you for hanging out with us on this Football Monday edition in the aftermath of Sunday's 25-15 loss to the Ravens. You heard Jim Donovan on the call, the first down of the first half, a nice 19-yard run by Trent Richardson on that. We'll get to the roundtable momentarily, but the Cleveland Browns invite you to attend a free family health screening provided by Men's Health Network, Boehringer Ingelheim, and that is the, Boehringer Ingelheim, Cuyahoga County Veterans Service Commission, and Cleveland Clinic, being held at Cleveland Browns Stadium. That's on Saturday, November 10th. Visit clevelandbrowns.com/screening for more details. It's the roundtable, and we have Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, Doug Deacon, his partner in the Browns radio booth, and Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Jim, this conversation would almost be identical, I think, to what we talked about after the Thursday night game in Baltimore. I mean, in many respects, except for the fact that you look at this one, and it seemed the Browns had even more of an opportunity to win this game versus the last game where they kind of made things interesting at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I thought the Browns weathered a big storm in the beginning of the game when Baltimore looked like they were not going to be stopped. Doug made a really good point on the broadcast where it looked like the Ravens came out and they had fresh legs because of a bye, and they went up and down the field and did anything that they wanted to do. They wanted to throw it, wanted to run it, and scored. Twice, and then the Browns survive that and make great adjustments, and then they get down in that red zone five times. And you know, but I, you know, even Vic at 15-14, I did not have a feeling that you were going to hold them off. I knew that you needed more points in the game at that point to try and put these guys away. I didn't think we were going to walk out of there with a 15-14 win like we walked out the week before with a 7-6 win. So, yeah, I mean, it's very frustrating, I think, when you watched how it played out. There were long chunks of the game, I thought, where the Browns dominated the game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in both sides, but especially the defensive side. Doug, words like deflating were coming out of the locker room by players in describing that loss, and it did seem to they all hurt, and I don't know if you can really differentiate a loss is a loss, but it did seem like maybe because it's coming right before the bye, maybe there was that confidence of getting traction, whatever. There seemed to be a deeper sense of disappointment after this loss than others.
Well, yeah, I think because they honestly believe that they could play with them, and they can, and they just didn't make the plays yesterday to get over the hump. But, you know, the game over there in Baltimore, turnover kind of turned that game around. Yesterday, you know, it was one of those where they were hot in the first quarter and they were hot in the last 6 minutes, but in between, they didn't do anything, the Ravens didn't. And it's not the same team that we knew 10
right.
years ago,
right.
but, you know, they're still a good football team and, you know, a well-coached football team. But I think, yeah, I think the guys really felt that, you know, they had turned the corner and they were ready to do it. And when you have that anticipation, there's a big disappointment.
You know, Vic, along with that question you asked, Doug, I thought for the first time this year, first time in a lot of years, the disappointment and the frustration was mixed with some anger. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were some guys that walked out of that locker room last night just flat out pissed off because mm-hmm. they felt like, you know, they felt like they could play with that team, much like they did on the Thursday night game, and they really felt like they let another one slip away. But mm-hmm. as Jimmy said, it comes down to the red zone, 0-for-5 versus 3-for-3.
What do we make, then, of an offense that we can use this word young, and we can talk about rookies because you can because they are, but we've done it so much that after 9 games, and I've heard others say that maybe after 4 or 5 games that kind of has to go away. After 9 games or in the course of the 9th game, you begin to wonder when you see the failure to execute some things, when you see mistakes being made, and I know they aren't all being made by rookies, actually, but mm-hmm. being made in the course of a game, what do we make of that? How do we sort of, like, either, I don't think the word is justify it, but how do we wrap our minds around the inability to get certain things done?
Well, the thing I keep coming back to is that I just feel that they're not exactly sure what they want to be yet. And I think that, and I go back a couple of weeks ago, I think it was in the locker room after the Indianapolis game, and Joe Thomas, we were questioning them about, you know, what was going on in that game and what happened in that game. And he said, now you got to remember, we're a pass-first team. And I guess, you know, yesterday they definitely were a pass. They wanted to come out, I think, and they wanted to throw the ball. And yet the running game was there for them. So it's there, and I just don't think they still know what they want to do. Their best game was the Cincinnati game, where they had really a true ratio of balance in that game. I just think that the reason that you're, what you asked there about, you know, offensively, why they're making mistakes is because I just don't think they know what they want to be yet. I mean, they went up and got this great running back, but he, you know, for what they want to do, it doesn't seem like his talent, you know, dominates the game plan. And when it does, they're not doing what they want to do.
Right. Well, clearly it's a pass-to-set-up-the-run mentality for the most part, unless conditions like the weather that we had last week against the Chargers prevail. But, Doug, I would say this. I think not only do we see it as a throw-first type of approach that this Browns team takes offensively, but it also is a quicker-paced thing. It seems like they do try to break the huddle quickly, and I know strategically you want to do these things to catch a defense off balance, and when you're dealing with a defense maybe like specifically like the Ravens, you want to do that, bigger physical defenses. But at times you wonder if maybe you go a little too fast. I mean, if I know if I do in things I'm doing, that's usually when you're going to make a mistake.
Well, there was a few times yesterday I think they didn't break the huddle or get the play, you know, in time. Yeah. And that's a confusion because you don't have, you know, yeah, they're young players. They haven't played together. So the quarterback, you know, his ability to say, hey, we're going to change this, you know, audible, we're going to do this. Well, you don't know if everybody's going to be on the same page, and that right. gets real dangerous. But, I still think it gets back to, you know, getting the personality, what they're going to be. You know, we're more of a vertical offense, I think, than we are the true West Coast.
Yeah, horizontal.
As you're used to seeing it. And I think this is a team that needs to get first downs. You know, we wanted to keep Baltimore's defense on the field as much as possible, I thought, yesterday. And, you know, with those first two 3-and-1s, we didn't make it. And that, you know, all of a sudden put our defense back on the field. And, you know, in the personality thing, we've got to be able to convert those 3rds-and-1s and just keep the ball.
Sure.
3rd-and-1, Vic. Here we go again.
That's been a theme.
You know, I think there's sometimes, to Jimmy's point, too, I think there seems to be some overthinking going on.
I agree.
You know, and yesterday, okay, Smith drops the 3rd-and-1, and he probably would have had to break a tackle to get the first down on that drive.
Right.
Then the second time you get the ball back, Richardson goes for 9 on first down, fumbles on second down, and I don't know if the play calling was affected by that for 3rd down, but then, you know, you have Obanai, a wide open for potentially a touchdown, you get the interference call. Anyway, I just think, to Jimmy's point, this team needs to figure out what it wants, what does it do best, and stick with it.
It's the Roundtable. Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers, yours truly, Vic Carucci here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Bring up such a great point, too, about sort of what you want to do, how you want to do it. This, then, is what the bye is for, I think, as much as anything else. Reflect, study, quality assurance, quality control. Talked with Pat Shermer about this earlier in the show, too, that, you know, and he says it, and he said it earlier in his news conference, that time is going to be used by the coaches to kind of reevaluate the way they do things. And he made a reference to streamlining the communication system, because there were those issues, and I'm not sure how that has to go, but right now what is in place is an offensive coordinator and Brad Childress clearly discussing play options. Pat Shermer on the headset hearing that before the play is called. But and then I think someone else kind of involved with personnel substitutions, and the Browns do a lot of that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm... Yeah. Hey, amen.
With a lot of wheels turning. Yeah,
there are lot of wheels. There are a lot of moving parts there.
Yeah.
A lot of voices.
How do you simplify it?
I think a guy calls the game. I think let's go over on the other side of the ball. There's one guy calling the defensive game.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So when it wasn't working right on the first two drives of the game, that one guy fixed it, and they were fine pretty much throughout the balance of the game. And they were even fine on the last drive. I mean, Ward got a penalty, and, you know, that happens. But I think it's got to be one voice. And to what Doug says, I mean, it's one voice talking to a lot of young players, you know. And I think that they move fluidly down the field. Then all of a sudden they get in there, and I mean, you know, okay, we got to get this play called.
Because guys get open. I mean, the plays that are called, you see people. Ben Watson was open on the very first play of the game.
Wide open, right?
Wide open, yeah. And on plays that passes have been dropped, those are clearly good calls because I see the receiver and I see defenders and a whole bunch of green between them.
But I think it's the one voice. I mean, I think it's got to come down to somebody calls the game and it goes out to Whedon. He takes it and he calls it.
Well, it's certainty. I mean, you got to make sure you have the certain personnel in. You have to have the certain play called. And once you call to play with that personnel, you got to be certain that you're not going to change your mind and then at the last second say, you know, let's do this.
Yeah.
You know, and yesterday they just never got that big downfield play that we had seen the last few weeks. You know,
right.
Something over the top, you know, a long run just to kind of open things up
a little bit. They wanted it in the opening play of the game.
And they could have had it, yeah. And then inside the red zone, I wasn't crazy about some of the play calling down there. I'll be honest with you. I didn't see a lot of guys open, to be honest with you, either. And I know Brandon has been told, hey, look, you know, as he said last week, don't be a moron here.
Right.
You know, we got the best field goal kicker in the league standing on the sideline. Don't make a mistake. So I think that may have affected some of his decision-making down there.
This bye, I think, is particularly important for him because I see a quarterback, not that there isn't a long career ahead of him to grow, develop, all those good things. But still, I think I want to see him really make some of these big strides of consistency in the second half of the schedule because right now I see a guy with immense talent, that great arm. He's made some big plays that are eye-opening.
Yeah.
But he also has done some things. In this last game was one where it looked like a little bit of a step back.
Yeah, I thought so. I think you're right. I think he's hit a little wall, I think, maybe, you know.
The last couple of weeks.
I mean, and I know the weather game, and you're right, Tom. He protected the ball, I thought. But I thought he put the ball in peril a few times yesterday.
I agree, yeah.
He got away with a couple yesterday, too. And then he didn't get away with a couple. So you're right, I think. But I wonder if sometimes, you know, and I know, you know, we all kind of guffaw a little bit at his age. But I wonder if, you know, if everyone's trying to fast track this because he is 29.
And shows a maturity and capability of handling.
Yeah, I wonder sometimes.
But that gets back to, you know, the fact that, you know, you got the young guys, you're trying to adjust. Okay, they went in the game, they figured they were going to see man like they did, you know, over in Baltimore. They end up seeing cover two.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, you've got to dink and dunk a little more. But if, you know, if you've kind of geared your game plan to thinking you're going to get the man and get the double moves on Jimmy Smith and, you know, try to keep Ed Reed from the other side of the field, then all of a sudden you're making adjustments in the game that, you know, that rookie quarterback backs have trouble making.
The defense, and Jim made that reference about Dick Geron kind of fixing things once they got off kilter a little bit. But Tom, just to point this out, I mean, the Ravens averaged 3.7 yards rushing. Mm. It's good, but it's not overwhelming. Ray Rice just under 100 yards rushing on 25 carries. You could say, and Joe Flacco, 153 passing yards, one touchdown. They didn't kill the Browns defensively, and there were long stretches of that game where you could say the Browns defense did a really good job.
Yeah, and what Jimmy said earlier, I mean, Dick Geron did a great job adjusting. I thought the Baltimore's first two drives were great, though. I really liked their mix.
They were frightening.
Yeah. You didn't know what was coming. They do that little stretch kind of play with Rice where he cuts it back. I mean, that was really good offense there, and I think that's something maybe the Browns can learn from just in terms of, you know, mixing things up a little bit. But I thought the defense played very well up front. And boy, it was a nasty game. It looked like, you know, a game where Deacon should be out there against the Steelers back in the day.
It was really nasty.
Well, it was an AFC North game.
And
I mean, it was a nasty game.
And I maintain that some of that thinking on the Ravens' part was get the young team to lose its composure, obviously.
Right.
I mean, you want to do that to see if they'll bite and get those unnecessary penalties.
Let me just say, I think Dick has done that a couple of times now. I mean, the Indianapolis game, the Colts went down the first two times,
they
scores. So, you know, kudos to him to be able to pull the reins back in.
Well, yeah, but I think, you know, I think the Browns were coached up for the game to, you know,
avoid
with an attitude. You know, these guys are going to try to bully you.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, go toe to toe. I mean,
that's good.
I've seen the guys that, you know, they try to provoke you, you know, and they try to get in your young team. But I don't think any of our guys, you know, had any problems. You know, on the defensive side, Phil Taylor was taking exception to some of the ways, you know, things they were doing.
Yes,
but
he did.
Phil Taylor showed an attitude when he said, hey, you know, you got, you know,
he's just the name, yeah.
Yeah, we got Richardson. So, you know, that's the kind of attitude you got to have.
Well, interesting stuff to chew on during the course of this bye week. It is the Roundtable. Jim Donovan from the Browns Radio Network. Doug Deegan from the Browns Radio Network. Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Thank you, gentlemen, and we will reconvene next week.
All right.
Much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
I really need a new car.
Oh, no! Why?
Well, mine's only a two-seater, and I have three kids.
Are you sure that's a good reason?
Pretty sure.
But all the numbers, the decisions, the agony!
Not at Liberty Ford. I get top dollar for my trade-in, and right now I can lease the all-new 2013 Escape for only $249 a month.
Well, that's just too easy!
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
for your cooler and charcoal budget. For depositing $100 from Section 100. For being ready on game day, PNC has tools like Mobile Deposit that lets you snap and send checks from most anywhere. And Virtual Wallet that alerts you when you're running low. See our tools and apps at pnc.com/alwaysopen. PNC Bank, for the achiever in you. Official bank of the Cleveland Browns. A supported mobile device is needed to use Mobile Deposit. Standard data rates and certain other restrictions apply. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
If you are 18 or older, join the Cleveland Browns and Chomps at Cleveland Browns Stadium to celebrate Veterans Day and to find out more about your current state of health. We invite you to attend a free family health screening provided by Men's Health Network, Boehringer Ingelheim, Cuyahoga County Veterans Service Commission, and Cleveland Clinic, being held Saturday, November 10th at the stadium. Screenings will focus on your current heart health, and health experts will also be on hand to answer your questions. For more information and to pre-register, visit clevelandbrowns.com/screening or call 866-543-6461.
Hey, it's Bruce Hooley, and there is so much to love about fall. Crisp, cool, clear mornings. Do you wake up rested and refreshed and revised and ready to go? Well, if you don't, Joby's is the way to get you started. Get that nutritional building block underneath you. 100% pure natural bee pollen. I take it, and I love it. I wake up refreshed, raring to go, and get after my day. Make the call. 6 months supply, $99. 7th month free and free shipping, 877-300-5632. Or online, Joebees.
I'm Joel Matlin, president of Alarm Force. Alarm Force has the best value for all of your home security needs. Only Alarm Force has no charge live two-way voice with every alarm system. Installation, activation, and warranty are also no charge and only $25 a month for monitoring. Call Alarm Force today.
Call 1-800-267-2001. Alarm Force.
Ohio's best choice for home security.
Will Burge here for the all-new Mentor Nissan. Right now, they're introducing the $500 low-price guarantee exclusively at Mentor Nissan. We have a new attitude and a new way to buy a car. Bottom line, we'll pay you $500 if we can't beat any competitor's price. Guaranteed every day, no exceptions. Call 888-GO-NISSAN. That's 888-GO-NISSAN for full details or visit MentorNissan.com. The deals are always better at Mentor Nissan.
11 seconds to go in the half. Shotgun for Whedon with Richardson on his right. Two receivers left, one right. Whedon back to pass. Looking, he's throwing. Benjamin caught the ball on the sideline, inside the 15, at the 12-yard line on Terry Williams and Ed Reed. And
here comes Phil Dawson.
And Phil Dawson will come in with 6 seconds to go in the half, and this will be from 29 to try and cut the lead down to 5. Snap is back. Ball is down. The kick is up, and Mr. Automatic puts it through again. And so the Browns are taking it in small bites here today, Doug.
Yeah, Jimmy, they certainly did. No big gulps in this one. Lots of small bites and not enough of them. 5 field goals does not get it done. 15 points to 25 by the Ravens. And the 7th loss of the season for the Browns. Back to your questions, your comments that you submit to the Browns official Facebook and Twitter pages. The Browns Daily Twitter handle, you got to check that out, is Browns_daily, and you can email this show at daily@clevelandbrowns.com. Questions, comments there, or voicemail, by the way, 855-363-DAILY, 855-363-2459. We'll play the best questions, comments on the air, so you can hear yourself. Frank from Facebook, another game that could have been won when quarterback play is that bad. Colt McCoy should have been given a series or two. Brandon Whedon was missing open receivers all afternoon. Also, he is too immobile. I didn't think it was that kind. I did not think it was a great day for Brandon Whedon. So understand that. I've said it multiple times in this show and during our roundtable discussion. So this is not a he played well, you didn't see it comment. What I don't think he did, though, Frank, was play poorly enough to do even a couple of play switch. I don't think that would have really done anything except maybe rocked his confidence, and I don't think you want to do that right now. I think you're riding this guy as far as you possibly can, and I'm not convinced that a bottom is going to fall out of him. I do need to see improvement that shows me he's, you know, back on reset, but I'm not ready to do that, do what you're suggesting yet. Audrey from Facebook, Phil Dawson is our highest scoring player. They need to quit relying on him for points and getting the end zone. And we talked about this. The red zone cannot be a dead zone. It's got to be touchdowns. You don't beat any team in this league, let alone the one like the Ravens that has Joe Flacco, that has Anquan Boldin, that has Ray Rice, that has the ability to strike quickly and put points on the board. You're not getting it done with field goals. We want to thank Pat Shermer. We want to thank Jim Donovan and Doug Deacon and Tom Withers. We want to thank Drew Boatner. We want to thank Joe Meadows. We want to thank our outstanding producer, Dave DiNatale. And we will talk to you again tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.